Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu to enlighten us on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji, I am here. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, all this to Srila Prabhupada, all this to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association and time to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. So today we will be reading just one verse, studying just one verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22nd. Entitled The Process of Devotional Service, verse number 122. Is that the right verse? Let me just check quickly. One second. Hare Krishna. I want to check the verse number very quickly. Does anyone
Hare Krishna.
The verse?
That's right. Yes, 122.
Okay, good. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't have my personal phone on me. Okay. So, verse number 122. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22nd, verse number 122. Agre Nritya Gita Vijnapti Dandavanna Nati Abhyutthana Anuvrajya Tirthagrihe Gati. Agre Nirtya Gita Vidnyapti Dandavanati Abhyutthana Anuvrajya Tirthagrihe Gati. Synonyms: Agre Nirtya, dancing before the deity, Gita, songs, Vidnyapti, opening the mind, Dandavat Nati, offering obeisances, Abhyutthana, stand up, Anuvrajya, following, Tirtha Grihe Gati, going to temples and places of pilgrimage. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. One should also dance before the deity, sing before the deity, open one's mind to the deity, offer obeisances to the deity, stand up before the deity and the spiritual master just to show them respect, follow the deity or the spiritual master, and visit different places of pilgrimage or go see the deity in the temple. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरात्विसे नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। I would like to offer my sincere obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. I would also like to beg each and every one of you for your kind blessings so that I may be able to serve you today in a nice way, simply by the power of your blessings and by the power of your eagerness to hear Harikatha. I apologize, I was a little confused at the beginning of the call regarding the verse. Kindly pardon me. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from our sweetest scripture, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. And we are in the chapter of Madhya Lila, which is entitled The Process of Devotional Service, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Bhagwan himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate authority, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the process of bhakti, to Sanatana Goswami, who is our Sambandha Acharya. So very beautiful section. There is so much to speak about these nectarian verses which are being discussed. Just see today's verse. It is so beautiful. Agre Nritya means in front of Krishna, who has appeared in the form of Shri Vigraha, the deity form. Vigraha. We have explained this many times. Graha means grahan. Karna means to accept. And vi means vishesha rupena. So vigraha means a vishesha, a special form accepted by the Lord. When a murti is made from metal, stone, wood by devotees, and a pure devotee prays to the Lord to come and manifest in the form of that statue which has been carved or made in accordance with the descriptions of the Supreme Lord as mentioned in the scriptures like Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Based on these descriptions, if a murti is made and then a pure devotee from the core of his or her heart prays to Krishna to come and manifest in the form, come and live, come and reciprocate, come and accept service in the form of that deity, then that murti becomes Shri Vigraha. Vishesha Rupena Grahan, Vigraha. Krishna has accepted that special vishesh form. So that is Shri Vigraha. In the presence of Shri Vigraha, in English we call it deity, not it, we call him deity. So in the presence of the deity of Radha and Krishna, in the presence of Shri Vigraha, one must perform nritya, means dance. Agre means in front of. Agre nritya, Gita. Gita means to sing beautiful songs. Vidnyapti. Vidnya means to know, basically. So vidnyapti means to open up one's mind, to reveal one's heart. Dandavat mati. Dandavat means to fall down like a danda, like a rod. And nati means natmastak, to offer obeisances. So dandavat nati means to offer dandavat pranam. Abhyuthan means to get up, stand up. Uthan means standing up. Anuvrajya. Anu means to follow. Dasa dasa anu das. Like that, to follow. Radha, and then one who follows Srimati Radharani, Anu Radha. So Anu means to follow behind. Krishnanu, Shilanam, like that. Then Tirtha means place of pilgrimage. Tirtha Grihe means temple where Krishna lives. Gati means to go. So these are the different angas, different limbs of devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing. To dance before the deity, to sing songs before the deity, to speak to the deity, reveal one's heart and one's mind to the deity, to Krishna, to offer obeisances to Krishna, to stand up in front of Krishna and spiritual master, to follow behind Krishna and spiritual master, and to go to the temple of Krishna or go to the ashram of one's spiritual master, or go to the places of pilgrimage, holy places, to hear from one's spiritual master or from the great devotees. So my dear friends, these are very, very deep subject matters, and we will try to discuss a little bit about these subject matters for the next few minutes. So Agre Nritya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Nachre Amarman. He says, dance, O my mind, dance. So actually, our mind, our heart should dance in joy that my beloved Lord, my Prananath, has appeared in the form of this Shri Vigraha, this deity. I can bathe them, I can feed them, I can cook for them, I can do Shringar, decorate them. They are mine. It is such a beautiful feeling. And then out of ecstasy, the mind dances, the heart erupts in an ecstatic dance. So when there is dancing going on within, then as a natural byproduct, as a natural effect, the body also starts dancing. So the subtle body, our subtle body has to dance first. So Agre Nritya means our subtle body, our mind. Nachre Amarman. Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Pole Nachre Amarman. So when we are standing in front of our dancing lordships, Shri Shri Nitai Gaura Nataraj, when we are standing in front of Nitai Gaur Nataraj, our mind should dance in ecstasy. And as a side effect of that, as a consequence of that, because the subtle body is dancing, the gross body also manifests a dance. That is the natural way of doing nritya. But if we are not on that platform yet, our subtle body is not dancing spontaneously upon beholding the beautiful form of Gaur Nataraj or Radha Ras Bihari, who dances in the Ras Leela, Krishna. If that is not happening, the subtle body is not dancing naturally, then at least let us fake it till we make it. Let us fake it. Let us at least come together and dance together, encouraging each other, hoping and praying that someday this will be spontaneous. This will be spontaneous. Right now, we need very good kirtaniyas to make us dance. We need a very good mridanga player to make us dance. If the mridanga player is not playing properly, oh, we cannot dance. And then we blame it. Ah, the kirtan was not very good. Whether the kirtan was not good or whether our heart is not in the right place. We have to remember, my dear friends, Srivas Thakur was able to go in ecstasy by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit, when Devananda Pandit was not even a devotee. Oh, Vaishnava Mukha Girinan Putam Hari Kathamritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpo Chishtam Yathapaya. But Srivas Thakur was so full of nectar that even though he drank Sarpo Chishtha, the drink which was filled with the poison of a sarpa, of a snake, poisonous snake, Srivas Thakur was so full of nectar that even though he drank apparently poison from the lips of a Vaishnava, like Devananda Pandit, still he was so full of nectar that only nectar came out. Only Ashtasattvic Vikar came out. Only symptoms of ecstasy came out. Therefore, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Uddhava Gita, one of the 24 gurus is fire. Why fire? Because the fire is never affected by any contamination. You put anything unclean in the fire just consumes it. And by the power of fire, everything becomes purified. So similarly, Srivas Thakur was so full of devotional nectar that even though he heard from a Vaishnava, he felt ecstasy. Mukunda saw a Muslim king being fanned by a peacock feather fan, and that made him remember Krishna, and he went into ecstasy and fell down unconscious. So we need very good kirtan singers, we need very good mridanga players, we need a very loud sound system, high decibels, you know. Only then we can dance. But we have to pray for purification, so that as soon as we see Doyal Nitai and Chaitanya, as soon as we see Gaur Nataraj, we start dancing. As soon as we chant the names of Gaur Nataraj, we start dancing. That should be our prayer. Dandavat, offering Dandavat. It is also so deep. Dandavat was offered by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami when they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Ramkeli. Like rods, they fell down at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered their life, surrendered their life. That is the meaning of Dandavat Pranam. To surrender one's life. It is so deep. It is not just some etiquette or obligation that, oh, some senior devotee has come, I have to offer obeisances. The actual meaning is to offer one's life. An even deeper meaning of Dandavat is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered Sri Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. When first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came running to take darshan of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, Jagannath with his outstretched hands is waiting for his devotees. With his huge round eyes, which are like magnifying glasses,
staring, unblinking eyes without eyelids. He is looking for his devotees. Where are my devotees? When will my devotee come? And he's magnifying our tiny good qualities. Even though we may have very little good qualities, Jagannath is magnifying them with his merciful eyes. And this Jagannath is none other than Krishna. But which Krishna is he? Jagannath is not Vrajendra Nandan Krishna. Jagannath is not Mathura Nath Krishna. So Jagannath is not Radhanath Krishna. He is not the Vrindavan Nath Krishna. He is not the Mathura Nath Krishna. Who is Jagannath? He is Dwarka Nath. He is Yadunath, not Vrajanath. He is Yadunath, Parakya, Vipralamba. Jagannath is Dwarkadish Krishna, who is feeling intense separation from Srimati Radharani. Our Jagannath, with his outstretched hands, with his big, unblinking, round, ecstatic eyes and the big, broad smile on his face, with his heart erupting in ecstasy, Jagannath is Dwarkadish Krishna in intense separation from Vrindavan, in intense separation from Srimati Radharani. He is Jagannath. And who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Dyuti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani because he has Radha Bhava. He has Mahabhava, Rakya Mahabhava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani feeling separation from Krishna, who has gone away to Dwarka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani, who is feeling intense separation from her Krishna, who has left her, who has left Vrindavan and gone away to Dwarka. And Jagannath is Dwarkadish Krishna, who is feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani feeling separation from Dwarkadish Krishna. And at Shri Kshetra Jagannath Puri, they meet. Jagannath is feeling separation from Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling separation from Krishna. And they both come face to face in Jagannath Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Srimati Radharani, feeling intense separation from Krishna, when finally he comes face to face with Jagannath, Mat prana nathastu sa eva na para. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just falls down in ecstasy, loses external consciousness. The internal union, there was external separation, internal remembrance leading to internal union. All this while there was external separation and internal union. And now that internal union has manifested in external union. And then there is an explosion of emotion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just falls down like a rod, like a stick, like a lifeless stick, just collapses on the floor of Jagannath temple. Until Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya takes him home and brings him back to consciousness. This is the meaning of Dandavat. To see the Lord and in deep emotion, in deep ecstasy, to lose external consciousness and faint and fall down, that is Dandavat. But again, just like spontaneous Nachreya Marman, spontaneous dance, if we cannot spontaneously fall down unconscious in ecstasy, then at least as a formality we can offer Dandavat Pranam. Ashtanga Dandavat for men, and Panchanga Dandavat for Matajis. At least as a formality, we offer Dandavat Pranam and pray that someday I may develop genuine love. I may develop genuine love. And then the true meaning of Dandavat Pranam will be fulfilled. Geet, singing songs for Krishna. This is also so deep. So deep. Jayadeva Goswami, when he would sing Gita Govind for the pleasure of Jagannath, it was such an ecstatic experience for Jagannath, that Jagannath wraps a shawl on which Gita Govind is embroidered, wraps it around him every night, and then he takes rest. That is the power of Gita Govind. Very, very powerful to recite beautiful prayers to Krishna. It is such a powerful anga of bhakti. It nourishes our bhakti so much, my dear friends. If we can take some selected prayers of our Vaishnava Acharyas or prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we sit in front of our Ishtadev, our personal deities, and whichever bhav of bhakti we want to cultivate, which we don't discuss publicly, but in our own private meditation, if we chant those prayers, that vandana, which glorify Krishna, which glorify the bhav of devotional service that we are aspiring to attain, the particular type of Vraja Bhakti that we are aspiring for. If we recite those prayers which specifically nourish that bhav, it is so powerful. It gives such a powerful boost and direction to our sadhana bhakti. Please try this. Whatever mode of bhakti we are aspiring for in the core of our hearts, in the privacy of our prayers, you go through the scriptures and extract those prayers which really inspire that bhav of bhakti within you, and make it a practice to regularly, every day, recite those prayers, that vandana for Krishna. It will really nourish your bhakti. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atma nivedanam. Shravanam kirtanam we do. We chant our japa, we sing Gaur Aarti, we sing Mangal Aarti. We do Harinam Sankirtan. We hear Bhagavatam class. Shravanam kirtanam we do. And because of Shravanam Kirtanam, we do some Smaranam also. We think about what we heard. We think about some Krishna Leela. So Smaranam is also happening. When we are chanting also, we are trying to remember Krishna. We are trying to pray to Krishna. So Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam is happening. But what about Vandanam? This is Vandanam. This Gita is Vandanam. You recite some special prayers to Krishna. So that is a very powerful powerful limb of bhakti, to sing special prayers to Krishna. Vidnyapti, to open one's mind. When we are going through trouble, we sometimes just internalize it, don't share with anybody, or sometimes we share it with our devotee friends. We share our problems. This is happening, that is happening. I'm having this problem in my professional life. I'm having this difficulty at my place of work, or my project is ending, or I'm getting transferred, or my boss is troubling me, or I'm having this health problem, I'm having migraine headaches, I'm having back pain, or I have been diagnosed with cancer. Whatever problems are going on, we share with our friends, is it not? We all do. But if we are really going deep in bhakti, we will also open our heart and discuss our problem and have a conversation with Guru and Gauranga. There is one Mataji, her husband got burnt in an accident. And she was at his side practically 24/7. They had young children and the husband was the only source of income and it was a big tragedy. You know, they didn't know whether he was going to make it or not. He had very significant burn injuries. So she would sit next to him, chant japa, cry. And then a senior Mataji visited them in the hospital and asked her how she was doing, did some practical help, practical seva. And then before leaving, she asked the wife, how is your consciousness, dear? How are you coping? She said, you know, I'm chanting some extra rounds. And I know my husband is not able to chant. I'm praying. No, please pray. And then the condition kept getting worse. The husband was getting sicker and sicker and more critical. And then they reached a point where the hope of him surviving was just decreasing every day. At that point, that senior Mataji was again visiting one day. And she was praying, she was doing some practical help, like bringing prasad, you know, volunteering to take care of the children while the Mataji was in the hospital with her husband. All these practical helps we must do. And then again she asked, how are you doing? You know, how's the consciousness? So again she said, I'm, you know, chanting some extra rounds, praying, I'm feeling very depressed that this is happening. I don't know how to cope with it. So this Mataji told the wife, are you talking to your Gaur Nitai? Are you talking to Srila Prabhupada? Are you talking to your spiritual master? And that's when that Mataji realized that Krishna, I am chanting and, you know, I am doing all this Narsimha Kavach and Narsimha Aarti and, you know, asking devotees to pray. But really, did I even once just stand in front of my Gaur Nitai, in front of Srila Prabhupada, in front of my spiritual master and just talk to them, tell them what is going on? I'm just officially going, bowing down, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama, chanting my japa, chanting my namaste, narsimhaya, pralada, lada, daine, saying all the prayers, offering obeisances and going away. But am I really taking the time to just, like we talk to each other, like we talk human to human, have I really spoken to my spiritual master? Have I told Maharaj, this is what has happened? Have I given him a report? Have I begged him for his prayers, for his blessings? Have I spoken to Srila Prabhupada? Have I spoken to my Gaur Nitai? As if they are living personalities? Am I treating them as living personalities? Or just, you know, God is there, he's, you know, up in the spiritual world and this is just, you know, manifested form that I need to bow down to. No, but do I really feel that I'm in the presence of Gaur Nitai? So, she really, it was a very transformational moment for her. So that evening she went home and she cried in front of her deities. She wrote a letter to her spiritual master. It totally deepened her bhajan, deepened her sadhana, made her sadhana so much more meaningful and real and not mechanical. And so this Mataji was sharing her realization and the icing on the cake is that her husband also recovered completely. So like that, you know, we have to be very opening one's mind to the deities and talking to the deities, telling them our problems like we would tell another human being. Treating our deities like living personalities, treating the photograph of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master like living personalities. That is very important. That is very important and again very nourishing for our bhajan. Abhyuthan means to stand up when the deity of Krishna comes. For example, when Jagannath ji is going out on Rath Yatra, he's coming out, we should stand up out of respect, to remain seated or to continue to do what we are doing even when the deity, the Utsav Murti of Krishna is coming or Sri Jagannath is coming. It is very disrespectful. It means we think we are more important than Krishna. Or even when our spiritual master is coming, we must never sit. We must stop what we are doing and immediately stand up as a mark of respect. We should stand up like a danda, straight. A danda can fall down flat and danda can stand straight, attention, like that. So, so we should do a vertical dandavat when our spiritual master or Krishna comes. Even if we are sitting something, we should immediately offer respects to our spiritual master. That is very important. If all of you want, if all of you really want, really, really want, then remind me at the end of the class. I will share with you something very confidential about standing up. I don't know if I should share it or not, but if all of you really feel inspired, then remind me. I will. Then that is Abhyuthan. Then Anuvrajya. Vraja means to go. Anu means behind. So Anuvrajya means to follow behind. Ohe Vaishnav Thakur, Ami Tomara Kukur. Vaishnav Thakur, Ami Tomara Kukur. When our spiritual master is going, we must think that I am a dog, Kukur. I am a dog of my spiritual master. I have got this belt around my neck, the Tulsi Kanthi Mala, which means I am a pet dog of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. When the spiritual master is going somewhere, we must follow. We must follow behind to see if the spiritual master needs any assistance, to see if we can serve him or her in any way. Anuvrajya, very important. It is literal and also philosophically. Philosophically also we should follow in the footsteps of our spiritual master. And physically also when we have the vapu, then we must follow the vapu of the spiritual master. It's a great benediction. The vapu is not always available. So when the vapu is available, we should offer respect to the vapu. Not that, oh no, vani is more important. Vapu is not important, so I'll not care about vapu. I'll just, it's okay, let Guru Maharaj go. I'm following his instructions. Baba, I'm listening to his lecture. I will listen to his lecture. No, that is insane. Not like that. Vapu and vani are non-different. Vapu may not be available at all times, but vani is available. But when vapu is there, the vani is coming from the vapu. The vani is emanating from the vapu only. So vapu and vani of the guru are non-different. When the spiritual master is there, serving the spiritual master takes precedence over everything else. We must be anuvrajya. We must follow behind the spiritual master. Only then we can go to vraj. If we go anuvraj, then we can go to vraj. If we follow behind the spiritual master, then the spiritual master will lead us to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Bishaya chadiya kabe shudha be mana kabe ham he rabo Sri Vrindavana. And Tirtha Grihe Gati, going to the temples and places of pilgrimage. This is also very, very important. Very important. We'll conclude with one story. There is a very beautiful story mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it is chapter 78.
which combines few of the points that we are talking here. It combines Dandavatmati, it combines Abhyuttan, and it combines Tirtha Grihegati, going to the Tirtha Sthalis, Abhyuttan, to stand up when a respectable personality comes, and Dandavatmati, to offer obeisances to the respectable personality. All these three things are combined in this one Leela. So we will discuss this. Anybody can guess? Can anyone guess what Leela it is? Hare Krishna. It is the deliverance of Roma Harshana Sutta by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Balaramji. So Balaramji, in the 78th chapter of the Dasham Skandha, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Balaramji came to Naimisharanya, and there thousands of Brahmins, thousands of sadhus, they were sitting and they were submissively hearing from Roma Harshana Sutta. Roma Harshana Sutta, although born in a Sutta family, a lower caste, but he was very learned, and Vyasdev had accepted him as his disciple. This clearly proves that even 5,000 years ago, the Vedic civilization was not making distinctions just based on birth. It was guna karma vibhagasha. If someone had the inclination, someone did the necessary hard labor to achieve something, karma, and someone had that aptitude, the qualities, guna, then you could be promoted in whichever direction you want, whether you want to be a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. So this is a classic example which refutes the wrong argument that the Vedic civilization was very caste conscious in a negative way. It was exploitative. It was not. At least it was not supposed to be like that. So example is Roma Harshana Sutta. He was born in a Sutta family, but still he was promoted to be the spiritual master. He was promoted to the status of a Brahman, and he was sitting at an elevated place, more elevated seat than many sadhus who were born in Brahman families. Because he was qualified, he had knowledge, he had oratory skills, he was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva, he was coming in the proper parampara, and he was empowered and blessed to speak Bhagavatam. So he was speaking, and Balaramji came there, and all the sadhus, they immediately stood up, because Balaramji is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Krishna's direct expansion. He is Vishnu Tattva. So Balaramji, he was immediately worshipped by all the Brahmins, all the sadhus. They gave him a nice place to sit down. They did Pada Seva. They washed his lotus feet. They offered him garland, offered him sweet words, offered him water to drink. They welcomed him, just like a respectable personality should be welcomed. And they glorified him with beautiful verses. All the sadhus, they worshipped Balaramji and they glorified Balaramji. But Balaramji was not satisfied. Why? Because the leader of all these sadhus was sitting on the Vyas Asana, and he was a disciple of Vyasadeva, and he was Roma Harshana Sutta. Balaramji became very angry, and in front of everyone, Balaramji chastised Roma Harshana. He said, "Oh Roma Harshana, you are Roma Harshana Sutta. You are born in a Sutta family, family that takes care of the horses. It's a Shudra family, and because it's a mixed parentage, you have not developed the right culture. You don't have the right etiquette. And you are so proud that you are sitting on a seat which is higher than the Brahmins here. And you are sitting on a seat which is higher than mine. And you did not have the etiquette. You did not have the decency to get up from your seat and stand, Abhyuttan, to stand up as a mark of respect for me. Not only that, you did not offer me Dandavat Nati, Dandavat Pranam. You did not offer me Dandavat Pranam. You continued to remain seated on your high seat. This is a great offense. And for this offense, you must die. You must die. And then Balramji says something very instructive, which is very important for all of us. Balramji tells Romaharshana that you are a direct disciple of Srila Vyasadev, the saintly Vyasadev, Balramji says. So which means your spiritual master is very saintly. Your spiritual master has sadachar. Your spiritual master knows how to behave. But you don't have sadachar. You have durachar. Although you have learned many scriptures from Srila Vyasadeva, study of these scriptures has not produced any good qualities in you. Hare Krishna. These are Balramji's words of chastisement to the guru of all the assembled sadhus and rishis at the holy place of Naimisharanya. Balramji is chastising Romaharshana, Guru Maharaj. Why? Balramji has that adhikar. He is not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Balramji also happens to be the Adi Guru. He happens to be the Guru of Vyasadev. Because Vyasadev's Guru is Narad Muni, and Narad Muni and Vyasadev both are insignificant Shaktyavesh avatars of Balramji. Hare Krishna. So Balramji has that adhikar to chastise Romaharshana Sutta, who was the guru, Shiksha Guru of all the sadhus there. And Balramji does not take Romaharshana Sutta to the side, inside a cottage, inside an ashram, and privately chastise him. No, I don't want to chastise in front of everybody. I'll privately do it. No. Balramji chastises Romaharshana in front of all the thousands of sadhus assembled at Naimisharanya. Not only that, Shukdev Goswami speaks this. Not only that, Romaharshana Sutta's son, Sutta Goswami, speaks this in Srimad Bhagavatam so that it is recorded for all time to come. Hare Krishna. Why? Why should this Leela of Balramji be recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam for all time to come? Because this Leela is very, very instructive to me and to all of us. Anyone who accepts any leadership role, whether it is serving a class on Bhakti Sangha, whether it is serving a class in a local Bhakti Vriksha, in a local temple, or whether it is teaching Krishna consciousness to our children, or teaching Krishna consciousness to our friends, or colleagues, or anyone, preaching Krishna consciousness to our family members, anyone
who accepts the role of a preacher. Anyone who accepts the service of speaking Hari Katha. This story is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. Srila Prabhupada explains why this story is so important. Balramji could have chastised him, and I'm sure Romharshan Sutta would have apologized. Why did Balramji kill him? In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no conversation mentioned between Balramji and Romharshana. It's not like Romharshana Sutta is given an opportunity to apologize, or it's not like Balramji curses him that you have become proud, become a snake in your next life. Nothing like that. And then Romharshana Sutta begging Balramji, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Okay, you'll be born as a snake in the house of Nimai Pandit. Nothing like that. Or I will come in the next incarnation and I will deliver you. Nothing like that. There is no opportunity given to Romaharshana Sutta to give justification. Nothing. Balramji takes a blade of kusha grass and touches the tip. Agre nritya. So he touches the agra part of the kusha grass, the tip of the kusha grass to Romaharshana Sutta, and Romaharshana Sutta just dies. Instant death. No conversation, no justification, no negotiation. He is not given an opportunity to speak in his defense. This is very significant. Why such a harsh punishment? Why such an uncompromising stand by Balramji? It is because of the utter, the sheer importance of this lesson. Balramji says that your study of various scriptures has not produced any good qualities in you. This is a lesson for all of us. What is the purpose of doing the ISKCON disciple course? What is the purpose of doing Bhakti Shastri? What is the purpose of doing Bhakti Vaibhav? What is the purpose of doing Journey of Self-Discovery course? What is the purpose of doing the Advanced Bhagavad Gita course? What is the purpose of doing Grahastha Seminar course? What is the purpose of studying? What is the purpose of Swadhyaya? It is development of good qualities. Our beloved scripture, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, explains. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, Vaishnav etiquette are the ornaments that make us beautiful in the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not impressed by the thickness of our Kanthi Mala. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not impressed by how beautiful our tilak is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't care about how big our shikha is, nor does he care about how beautiful the dhoti is and how well the border of the dhoti matches with the kurta. Nor does he care about the gold and diamonds and the jewelry worn by Matajis. Nor do we become beautiful in the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by how colorful our sari is. All these things are important. All these things have a place. As Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, we must dress neatly, neat and tidy. Simple yet neat and tidy and elegant. But this is not what makes us beautiful in the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What beauty did Kubja have? What beauty did Vritrasur have? what makes us beautiful? What beauty did Jatayu have? He was a vulture. What makes us, what beauty did Shabari have? She had wrinkles all over her face. What makes us beautiful in the eyes of Krishna is Vaishnava etiquette. Did Sudama have very nice bodily features? No, his bones were sticking out of his skin everywhere. He was emaciated. He didn't have a good figure. His clothes were dirty. He had holes in his dhoti. What beauty did Kolavecha Sridhar have? There were so many holes in his dhoti, he did not even have a needle and thread to patch those holes. So he would just tie knots on his dhoti to hide the holes. What beauty did Kolavecha Sridhar have? It's not like he used to go to some designer barber and get the most beautiful haircut, and he used to put a very nice aftershave after shaving. What beauty did Kolavecha Sridhar have? What beauty did Vasudeva the leper have? What beauty did Sanatan Goswami have when he had all those ulcers on his skin and Mahaprabhu would every day as a regulative principle embrace him at Siddha Bakul when he was staying with Haridas Thakur? What makes us beautiful in the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is our Vaishnava etiquettes. This is a statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is observance of Vaishnava etiquette that makes us beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. That's why the Vaishnava etiquette manual is so important. You must try to develop these Vaishnava qualities for the pleasure of Krishna and for the beauty of our Vaishnava society. So Srila Prabhupada explains why Balramji was so upset with Roma Harshana Sutta. It was not just that Romaharshana Sutta had become careless in his dealings. It is not just that Romaharshana Sutta had failed to offer respect to Balramji, who is Adi Guru and who is Bhagwan, both. It is not that just he was angry because Romaharshana Sutta had become proud and arrogant. That is not the entire reason. What we are going to say now is very beautiful. Therefore, please very attentively hear, my dear friends. Please listen very carefully. This is very important. The reason Balramji was so angry at Romaharshana is because Romaharshana Sutta had accepted the position of respect. Romaharshana Sutta had accepted the Vyasasan. Romaharshana Sutta had accepted the position of a preacher. Romaharshana Sutta had accepted the title of Kathakar, Bhagavat Kathakar, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. And because he had accepted that position, his pride, his arrogance, his disrespectfulness would have infected, influenced, and poisoned all the thousands of sadhus who were sitting and hearing submissively with open hearts from Romaharshana Sutta.
Hare Krishna. I will repeat. Balramji was transcendentally, justifiably angry at Romaharshana Sutta because Romaharshana Sutta was a leader and his bad qualities would have poisoned all those sitting in the audience.
this is what happens. This is what happens. A leader has the power to influence people who hear from him. And we are all leaders. We speak Harikatha to our children, we speak Harikatha to our parents, to our cousins, to our family members, to our friends, to our colleagues. Or we may be speaking Harikatha from time to time in the assembly of devotees, like Bhakti Sangha conference, or Bhakti Vriksha, or temple programs, counseling meetings. When someone speaks Harikatha, that devotee has the power to influence others. Therefore, it is most important to be careful about our character. There is no way around sadachar. There is no way around observance of Vaishnava etiquette. There is no way around purification. Therefore, every day when we chant our minimum 16 rounds, we have to beg Krishna for purification. Krishna, please purify me. You see, all problems happen because of lack of purification. Anartha Nivritti. We should pray that in this lifetime, at least, kick out the anarthas. Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav, Prem, come. But first we must try very hard, sincerely, for Anartha Nivritti. And Aparadha Shunya. We try to avoid offenses. Aparadha Shunya Hai Laya Krishna Naam. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Pran. Nadi Yago Drume Nityananda Mahajan. Nityananda Ram, Balaram. You're talking about Balaram. Yes, this is very important. We must pray for Anartha Nivritti. We must beg Krishna for purification. And purification is not a painless process. I remember in the South India Yatra of 2005, Srila Radhanath Maharaj, he made everybody in the middle of the lecture pray. So every stop everything. Let us all say a prayer. And the prayer he made all of us say is, my dear Krishna, please purify my existence. And Maharaj said that now that you have prayed like this, Krishna is going to purify you. And purification can be very painful. And I remember after I said that, I was so inspired that every day I would tell Krishna, Krishna, please purify me. Do what it takes, but purify me, purify me, purify me. And after that, for so many years, my life went through such turmoil. But it was very purifying. It was very purifying. So I remember once someone was telling me that, don't pray like this. Don't pray that Krishna, please purify me, because I'm seeing how much, you know, what all is going on. It's so difficult. So many difficulties are coming. Until 2005, you were fine. And now see, after saying this prayer, what is happening? But I have to say from the bottom of my heart, that is the most important prayer I have ever prayed. So I request all of you that please pray for purification. Please pray to Krishna for Anartha Nivritti, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Very, very important. And it may not be very comfortable. Purification is not comfortable. But this lifetime we have to sincerely try for Anartha Nivritti. Because unless we cross over this mountain, this hurdle of Anartha Nivritti, we don't have real access to Nishtha, to Ruchi, to Asakti, to Bhav, to Krishna Prem. So we have to be cognizant about the anarthas in our heart. We have to be conscious and we have to sincerely try and sincerely pray to Krishna, because we cannot do it by ourselves. But Krishna can purify us. And we see so many examples of purification. It was not easy for Romharshana Sutta. He never got a chance to speak. Purification is it was not easy for Nalakuvar Manigreev. purification was not easy for King Mriga, who had to become a lizard for so many years. Purification was not easy for Ahalya. So purification is not easy, but purification is what all great devotees have gone through. So we must be enthusiastic about purification. We must pray for purification. So these were some of the thoughts that I wanted to share about this very beautiful verse. If there are any questions or comments, we can have few minutes for that. So let us be intense in our bhajan. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
If it's okay, can you also please share about standing up? We were talking about it.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So, okay, I will share this, but please take it in the right perspective. We do not want anyone to misunderstand this pastime. Hare Krishna. Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Tudalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namah. So, Shri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was a Mahabhagwat. He was a self-realized Mahabhagwat. We have spoken about his glories, and we can speak about his glories again and again. There is so much to share about him. But there are two types of devotees. There are sadhana siddha bhaktas and there are nitya siddha bhaktas. Both are glorious. And in the stage of being siddha, whether you are sadhana siddha or nitya siddha, once you become siddha, once you become perfected, it's all good. However, sadhana siddha bhaktas become sadhana siddha because of association with nitya siddha bhaktas. So Shri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj was a nitya siddha bhakta. He was not an ordinary soul. You see, Vraja bhakti or Krishna bhakti, Krishna prem, it belongs to the spiritual world. Vraja bhakti belongs to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Nobody has access to it in the material world. For example, if somebody is in the sea, in the middle of the ocean, you don't have access to sweet water, right? You don't have access to potable water, drinkable water, sweet water. But if someone lives at Gangotri, where Mother Ganga originates, and the sweet water of Ganga can be brought by that person in a pot and given to someone who is dying of thirst, dying of dehydration in the middle of the ocean. Why that person can bring it? Because he is from Gangotri, where there is only sweet water, very beautiful, pure water, nourishing water, satisfying the thirst, full of minerals, full of purity, full of shakti, that pure water of Ganga. So similarly, just like a person swimming in the middle of the huge Pacific Ocean, surrounded by miles and miles and miles of salty water all around, has no access to sweet water, but sweet water can be given to him by someone who is from Gangotri, who has access to sweet water. Similarly, we in the material world, as sadhakas, who are trying to become sadhana siddha, by the kripa shakti of the prema bhaktas and the nitya siddha bhaktas, they can only give us vraja bhakti. They can give us Krishna prem.
because Krishna Prem descends down from the spiritual world. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna Prem is being given to us. It is being invoked in our heart by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his associates. So only Gaur Priyajan, only those very dear associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give Vraja Bhakti, can explain to us what is the Gopi Bhav, what is Vraja Bhakti, what is Krishna Prem. Shri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj was one such personality. Very special soul, very special soul. And he came to assist Srila Prabhupada in Srila Prabhupada's very special mission. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, we all know, is a Nitya Siddha who was sent down by Krishna himself. See, all these things we do not talk publicly, we do not talk openly. I personally feel it is very essential for mature devotees to understand this principle very clearly in the core of their hearts. We may not speak about it so much, but we have to be very clear about it. Because tell me, unless we understand the true position of Srila Prabhupada, how can we really, with faith, follow Srila Prabhupada? We have to understand who Srila Prabhupada is, how glorious Srila Prabhupada is, how glorious his mission is, in order to properly participate. This Tattva Jnana is very important to understand Srila Prabhupada in Tattva. So Srila Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha who came from the spiritual world. And Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj is also a Mahabhagavat, self-realized Nitya Siddha devotee. We must carefully study the teachings of Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj. Because Gaur Govind Maharaj has the Shakti to give us Bhakti. He perfectly represents Srila Prabhupada. Totally sold out disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj, he came in the family of the disciples and descendants of Narottam Das Thakur. 7 years old, when he was 7 years old, he used to give classes on Chaitanya Charitamrita. By the time he was 12, he knew Srimad Bhagavatam, he knew Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, he knew the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. He was a great devotee. When his astrological chart was done by a very famous astrologer in the remote villages of Orissa, where they still follow the traditional way of calculating, making the chart, the astrological chart of Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj clearly said that he has been sent down by Krishna. He has been sent down by Krishna. Not that, oh, in the previous birth also he was a devotee of Krishna and now this is his last birth. Not like that. The chart said that he has been sent down by Krishna, Nitya Siddha. And he will bring glory to Gopal. Gopal is the Gopal Jiu deity, Gadaigiri in Orissa. He will bring good days to the place of Gopal. He has come down for that purpose. So Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj was a very, very special soul. Very, very special. He was a Mahabhagavat. When he met Srila Prabhupada for the first time, Prabhupada asked him, "Have you taken sannyas?" His name was Vraja Bandhu. He said, "No, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "I will give you sannyas." That was their relationship. First day he met Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave him one book and said, "Translate it into Hindi." And within few hours he translated into Hindi. Prabhupada read, approved. He said, "Very good. Now your mother tongue is Oriya. You translate all my books into Oriya." And that was a lifelong mission of Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj. Like a humble servant of Srila Prabhupada, he translated all Srila Prabhupada's books into the Oriya language. Very, very great soul.
Gaur Govind Maharaj. It is said that in the year 1976, 1 year before Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this mortal world, in the year 1976, Srila Prabhupada went to Bhuvaneshwar. One well-wisher had donated a piece of land to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada had ordered Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj to go to Bhuvaneshwar and develop this land, build a temple there. He had also given him instruction, you translate all my books into Oriya and build a temple in Bhuvaneshwar. Prabhupada gave him three instructions. Srila Prabhupada gave Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj three instructions. Number one, translate all my books into the Oriya language. Number two, build a nice temple for ISKCON in Bhuvaneshwar. And number three, travel all over the world and preach Krishna consciousness. And Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj fulfilled all these three orders of Srila Prabhupada. So in 1976, there was nothing but that piece of land, and Gaur Govind Maharaj with his own hands had made a small cottage, small hut with bamboo sticks and straw in Bhuvaneshwar. There was no building, no construction. He was still staying there alone. There was no plumbing, no running water, no electricity. Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj was staying alone in that hut. And he was preaching to the local people in the Oriya language in Bhuvaneshwar, trying to collect a congregation, trying to develop a congregation, trying to collect funds so that in the future he would build a temple in Bhuvaneshwar. The land was just donated and Gaur Govind Maharaj was the only devotee staying there. He had nobody to help him. So very, very austere, very simple life. Imagine, no flowing water, no electricity, nothing. No toilet. So you had to go into the forest to respond to nature's call. And Srila Prabhupada said in 1976, when Prabhupada's health was also not very good, he said, I want to visit Bhuvaneshwar, our ISKCON land in Bhuvaneshwar. So the devotees told the donor that Prabhupada is coming. The donor was influential. He made arrangements for Srila Prabhupada in the government guest house. You know, every big city in India, they have the guest house where the visiting dignitaries can stay. So Prabhupada was going to be accommodated in the government guest house of Bhuvaneshwar. And Srila Prabhupada lands in Bhuvaneshwar and his disciples are taking him to the guest house, and Prabhupada says, no, I want to stay with Gaur Govind Maharaj. So the devotee said, it is just a hut there, cottage. There is no toilet, there is no flowing water, no electricity, no amenities. Prabhupada said, I want to stay there, take me there. And then Prabhupada was brought to the land, ISKCON land, and Gaur Govind Maharaj was staying there alone in that hut, and Prabhupada said, I will stay with him. And he told all his disciples, you all go and stay in the government guest house. I will stay here alone with Gaur Govind Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada stayed alone with Gaur Govind Maharaj for 17 days, 17 days in 1976. Just Srila Prabhupada and Gaur Govind Maharaj. And there they had some very deep, very elevated discussions, which Gaur Govind Maharaj did not reveal to anybody. Very, very deep discussions. Maybe someday, if Krishna inspires, we can discuss some of those conversations that Gaur Govind Maharaj revealed. But this was the stature of Gaur Govind Maharaj. Very, very elevated, self-realized Mahabhagwat. And then Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world. And Gaur Govind Maharaj, few years afterwards, he started his touring, started traveling all over the world to preach Krishna consciousness. And he came to one foreign country. I will not name which country it was, but he went to a foreign country he was visiting, and he went to this particular city where ISKCON had a temple, still has a temple, and he went to that temple, and it was morning time when Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj arrived. And a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada was giving the Bhagavatam class, and he was he was the main leader that part of the world, main ISKCON leader for that part of the world. He was a very senior sannyasi, and he was giving the Bhagavatam class, and Gaur Govind Maharaj walks in to the temple hall. The class had just was about to start, and Gaur Govind Maharaj went. He offered his obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, he offered obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, offered obeisances to the deities, and he sat down in the audience on the floor. The class continued. The devotee who was giving the class, who was serving the class, did not interrupt or did not stop. He just continued when Gaur Govind Maharaj came. And the class continued. And the class ended after half an hour, 45 minutes. And then the speaker asked, said, are there any questions? So the class was on the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1. This is in the 1980s, mid-1980s. So the speaker asked, are there any questions? And Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj raised his hand. So the speaker, was a little surprised that, oh, this is my god brother, Gaur Govind Maharaj. Why is he raising his hand? What question can he have? So anyway, he asked, yes, Gaur Govind Maharaj, what question do you have? So Gaur Govind Maharaj asked, Maharaj, you were speaking about the Leela of Ajamil. Can you tell me how many Yamdutas came to take Ajamil? So the devotee who was giving the class, he said, 3. So Gaur Govind Maharaj asked him, can you explain, Maharaj, why 3? So the devotee was little taken aback by this question, and he thought, but he did not think that he knew the answer. So he said, I don't know why 3. So Gaur Govind Maharaj immediately said, you should know. You should know if you are sitting on the Vyasasana and you are giving this class, you should know. There was silence in the temple hall. Everybody was surprised with this interaction. So then the speaker looked around, a little embarrassed. And then he said, okay, does anybody else have any question? Again, Gaur Govind Maharaj raised his hand. Then Gaur Govind Maharaj asked a second question. He said, how many Vishnu Dutas came? So again, the speaker, sannyasi, he said, 4. Again, Gaur Govind Maharaj said, why 4, Maharaj? Can you explain? So again, he was like, by now, the speaker was a little disturbed by this type of interaction. So he could not think properly. He said, I don't know why 4 Vishnu Dutas came. So again, Gaur Govind Maharaj said, you should know, Maharaj. If you are speaking on the sixth canto, you are sitting on the Vyasasana, you should know why 4 Vishnu Dutas came. So then the speaker said, Maharaj, why don't you tell? Why don't you explain? So Gaur Govind Maharaj said, yes, I can explain. Then Gaur Govind Maharaj said that because Ajamil had performed sinful activities with his body, with his mind, and with his words, that's why 3 Yamadutas came. And 4 Vishnu Dutas came because he accidentally chanted the name Narayana. And there are 4 letters, Narayana. Because there are 4 letters, so 4 Vishnu Dutas came. And they were more powerful, they outnumbered, and therefore the Yamdutas had to retreat.
So you should know this, Maharaj. If you are giving a class, you should know all this. Gaur Govind Maharaj, in front of all the assembled devotees, said like this. Now, Gaur Govind Maharaj is a very, very humble, simple devotee, coming from a village, remote village, Gadaigiri, in Orissa. Very simple person, very humble devotee, decorated with all Vaishnava qualities. And this is what he said. So the speaker, who was still sitting on the Vyasasan, he said, Maharaj, then, you know, why don't you come and why don't you give the class? Please come, sit here on the Vyasasan and you give the class. I will sit down. Saying this, the sannyasi got up from the Vyasasan and he invited Gaur Govind Maharaj to come. And Gaur Govind Maharaj accepted the proposal. He came, he sat on the Vyasasan, and the sannyasi who was giving the class sat down at his feet. And Gaur Govind Maharaj gave a full 1 hour class after that on Ajamil. Very nectarian class. Very deep class. And everybody was hearing in rapt attention. And that was the end of it. The class was over. And then later on, this sannyasi, who was the in charge of that temple, he invited Gaur Govind Maharaj to his room. Because you are visiting, so come to my room, we can talk. So they went to the room, and there they were sitting in the privacy of their room. And then Gaur Govind Maharaj asked that sannyasi, so do you know why I did this? So that sannyasi said, no, Maharaj, I don't know why you did like this to me. So Gaur Govind Maharaj cited this 78th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Leela of Balramji, which we discussed with Romaharshana Sutta. And Gaur Govind Maharaj told that sannyasi at that time, in the privacy of his room, he said, I did it because I love you. You should be able, if you are a sannyasi, if you are a senior leader of our society, you should be able to understand who is spiritually advanced. And when a devotee who is more spiritually advanced than you walks into the room, you must immediately get down from the Vyasasan and fall at his or her feet and offer the seat to them and request them to speak Harikatha. To continue sitting on the Vyasasan without receiving a more advanced Vaishnav, without offering respects to a more advanced Vaishnav, is an aparadha. And you would have fallen down for committing this Vaishnav aparadha. The only solution to this Vaishnav aparadha is to be chastised by the Vaishnav who you have offended. Therefore, out of my love for you, I was forced to chastise you in front of everyone, because that was the atonement that you required. Then Gaur Govind Maharaj went on to explain to this Vaishnav that Vaishnav aparadha is very serious. He said, Srila Prabhupada has left us. Srila Prabhupada has left this world. He is not visible to our eyes anymore. He is not there to chastise us. And then Gaur Govind Maharaj looked at that sannyasi and said, so who will chastise you? Who will chastise you? You must have someone in your life who can chastise you. When you make mistakes, we must have someone in our life who can chastise us. Otherwise, we'll commit aparad and we will fall down. Vaishnava aparad is very serious. And this devotee who was chastised by Gaur Govind Maharaj because he did not get up from his seat, because he did not offer dandavat to Gaur Govind Maharaj, he himself told
this story. And he is so grateful to Gaur Govind Maharaj. So grateful to Gaur Govind Maharaj. He said, if Gaur Govind Maharaj was not there, I would have, my pride would have only increased over the years, and it was just a matter of time. I would have fallen down. So it was Gaur Govind Maharaj, Gaur Govind Maharaj, at the cost of being misunderstood by the onlookers, at the cost of being misunderstood by the audience, out of his love for this leader, he did what he did. He did what had to be done. There is another story which a Gurukuli told me. This devotee was a Gurukuli in Mayapur Gurukul. And Gaur Govind Maharaj would sometimes visit them. And Gaur Govind Maharaj had a very thick accent, Oriya accent, when he would speak English. And he had a very unique personality. He had very unique mannerisms. The way he would talk, the way he would speak was very unique, very different. And you know how boys are, young boys, you know, Gurukuli boys, young boys, they are 10, 11 years old. They like to make fun of their teachers. So Gaur Govind Maharaj, when he would come to Mayapur, he would sometimes give them classes. He would teach the Gurukuli boys. So these boys would make fun of Maharaj. They would imitate Gaur Govind Maharaj. They would pretend to talk like him, imitate him. They would laugh when he would turn around to write something on the blackboard. They would laugh. They would giggle at him. They would imitate him. They would make fun of him. Even when he would chastise them, they would laugh in his face. So Gaur Govind Maharaj would be chastising them. Ah, why are you doing like this? And they would ha 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 laugh. So some years passed, and this one particular boy, who is now a very senior leader in ISKCON, he himself told me this pastime. He said, one day I realized, when I was a teenager, around 14 years old, I realized that Gaur Govind Maharaj is a very, very advanced devotee. I realized that he is a pure devotee. There is no tinge of materialism in him. He is completely absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day. He is a Mahabhagavat. And then I remembered how over the years I had mocked him, I had laughed at him, I had imitated his mannerisms, I had made fun of him. So I somehow gathered courage, somehow I put my ego aside, and I went to his room one day when he was visiting Mayapur. This was 1995, 1 year before Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj left this world. So 1995, this devotee went to Gaur Govind Maharaj in Mayapur. He was still a Gurukuli, still a Gurukul boy. And he said, Maharaj, I want to say something. Maharaj said, what? He said, Maharaj, I have, over the years, as a student, I have made fun of you. I have found your way of talking very funny. And me and my friends, we have really joked at you many times. And I feel I have committed a Vaishnava Aparadha. So Gaur Govind Maharaj's eyes became big. He looked at this boy, he said, Vaishnava Aparadha? Very bad, very bad. Come, fall down at my feet. Put your head on my feet. So this boy, he put his head on Gaur Govind Maharaj's feet. And Gaur Govind Maharaj said, now say, Maharaj, I am sorry, please forgive me. This boy said, Maharaj, I am sorry, please forgive me. Then Gaur Govind Maharaj put both his hands on his head and said, Krishna Mati Rastu, I forgive you. If you have committed any offense, I forgive you from the bottom of my heart. Now please stand up. And then this boy stood up. And then Gaur Govind Maharaj patted him on his back and said, okay, now you go. Now you are free. He said, I did this because Vaishnava Aparadha is very dangerous. And the only way to get rid of Vaishnava Aparadha is to beg forgiveness from the devotee that you have offended. Therefore, I told you to beg forgiveness. And the devotee who has been offended has to, from the bottom of his or her heart, forgive you. Therefore, I forgive you also. So he said, now you are completely clean. Now you are purified of your Vaishnava Aparadha. Now go and don't commit Vaishnava Aparadha again. So this is Gaur Govind Maharaj. There are, I spoke certain things before coming to these two pastimes because I wanted everyone to understand who Gaur Govind Maharaj is. Because unless we understand who Gaur Govind Maharaj is, it is little difficult to appreciate these leelas, these interactions. So Gaur Govind Maharaj was way up, spiritual giant. He was a spiritual giant. And he had our welfare always in the core of his heart. So this pastime, which this great leader was telling, the first pastime about the Ajamil Bhagavatam class, that leader was in tears and he was offering his gratitude that day Gaur Govind Maharaj saved my life. He saved my bhakti. Otherwise Vaishnavaprad would have just eroded my bhakti slowly, slowly, like a cancer. So this is very important, my dear friend. Such leelas, such pastimes, we must keep in our heart. We must talk about them. We must discuss them. We must meditate on them. We must think about them. And then our consciousness is always protected. Always protected. So these are some things I wanted to share. Shri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful, very, very instructive class. It was so nice to hear from you. It was so beautiful when you spoke about the real, the most important aspect of Krishna consciousness, which is the character and developing the right consciousness. Stories from Gaur Govind Maharaj's life was beautiful, and even in your talk, when you were talking towards the end, you were talking about the why Balaram had to do this to Romaharshan, and you repeated the reason twice. That was very beautiful. Thank you. It was very instructive, also very, very nice. Thanks. The session was simply wonderful. I just had one question, not something very important, but then, so when you were talking about this particular verse 122, and you were talking about going in front of the deity and opening up your heart to the deity, I think that's what the verse says, opening up your mind to the deity. We also had this question, some of us had this question in the previous class, where there is this point of not crying in front of the deity. So in the do's and don'ts, we see in one of the previous verses that one must not cry in front of the deity. So I understand there is a subtle difference in the mood. So can you elaborate on this, what it means not to cry in front of the deity and what it means to open up in front of the deity? Can you comment on that, the subtle difference in the mood, or how we must understand this?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Priti Vilasini Mataji, for this amazing question. Just thinking of this question is making me very, very excited.
So if we see Rurodho, if we see Draupadi was crying when she was praying to Krishna. The gopis were crying when they were chanting the Gopi Geet. Gajendra was crying when he was in the presence of Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj was crying when he had darshan of Krishna. So if we see all the devotees, they are crying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cry. The spiritual master, according to the second verse of Sri Guru Ashtakam, the spiritual master while chanting Hare Krishna is crying. Mahaprabhu kirtana nritya gita vaditra madhyan manasurasena romanchakam pashruta ashru. Romanchakam pashruta ranga bhajo vande guru shri charanaravindam. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit would read Srimad Bhagavatam,
Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. They would cry so much that Bhagavatam would get wiped out by their tears. So if we cry out of love, if we cry out of ecstasy, those tears are very pleasing to Krishna. But if we are crying in front of Krishna for personal sense gratification, that Krishna, I did not get the promotion, or I could not get this house, or whatever material things we are asking from Krishna, and we are crying as a result of that, because we are crying because of our egoistic fights that we have. That kind of crying is very mundane, and one should not cry. So all these rules and regulations, Priti Vilasini Mataji, all these rules and regulations that are given, don't eat in front of Krishna. So when we are eating, we put a curtain on Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur begs to differ. He says, Chaturvedha Shri Bhagavat Prasada Svadanna Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangan Kritvaiva Triptim Bhajata Sadaiva Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. When the spiritual master sees that the devotees are sitting and eating four kinds of prasad, four kinds of foodstuffs that have been offered to the Lord, he becomes very happy, very satisfied. So spiritual master wants to see us eating. And if spiritual master is happy, then Krishna is happy. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. If spiritual master is happy, Krishna is happy. So Krishna wants to see us enjoying his prasad, honoring his prasad. But this is a higher platform. On the Vaidhi platform, we should put a curtain. But if our consciousness is like this, that my spiritual master wants to see how we are happily, cooperatively sitting and eating prasad together, and we keep the darshan open, Hare Krishna, please don't do this, or don't quote me on this. But if this is the bhav, that Chaturvedha Shri Bhagavat Prasada Svadana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangan, I will sit all with all these Hari Bhaktas and I will eat, and when spiritual master sees that all of us are sitting together happily, friendly way, we are honoring Krishna Prasad, discussing Hari Katha, spiritual master will be pleased. Then even Krishna will be pleased. Then Krishna also wants to see. So this regulation is there, don't eat in front of Krishna. But then if you have a consciousness like this, then you can certainly, for the pleasure of Krishna, you can eat in front of him. So similarly, once Prabhupada was told, someone got some Mahaprasad for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada immediately ate it, sitting on the Vyasasan, and he told, distribute, let everybody eat. So someone told him, Prabhupada, but you should not eat on the Vyasasan, you should not eat in the Bhagavatam class. And Prabhupada said, okay, all that is good, but there is another regulation in the scriptures that when Mahaprasad comes, it has to be immediately honored. Should not wait. So like if an important guest comes, you cannot tell the guest, you wait, Baba, first let me finish this, then I will attend to you. No. So Mahaprasad has come, it is Krishna's Mahaprasad, immediately you honor it. No delay. So that is a higher bhav. So to cry in front of Krishna for mundane things, to cry in front of Krishna for, selfish things, sense gratificatory things, that is not good. That is prohibited. Because Krishna, if you do that, then it destroys the sanctity of the deity. Because you are just coming and crying for all mundane things. But if one is crying out of ecstasy, that is very pleasing to Krishna. And that is natural. It is not faked. It is not artificial. It is not planned. It is spontaneous. And those tears are very pleasing to Krishna. But if the tears are because of some selfish loss, then it is not good. One example, Prithivilasini Mataji, is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Srinivas Thakur's son died during the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu told his wife and the other ladies in the household, cry, but cry softly and don't come out in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because they were crying out of their personal loss. They were not crying out of ecstasy. Personal loss. So Srinivas Thakur said, don't disturb the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supreme personality of Godhead and he has chosen our Angan to perform his all-night Sankirtan. What great fortune. And what great fortune it is for our son to leave his body hearing the loud Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please don't cry. And he went out, closed the door, went out, and with a smile on his face started dancing as if nothing happened. And then several hours passed and then Mahaprabhu said, I sense something is wrong. Is there anything wrong, Srinivas? And Srinivas Thakur said, if you are in this house, your lotus feet are dancing in this courtyard, Nityananda Prabhu is here, Haridas Thakur is here, Advaita Acharya is here, how can anything be wrong, Mahaprabhu? Then Mahaprabhu looks here and there at the devotees, and the devotees are looking down. And knowing that Srinivas himself will not tell, the devotees tell that few hours ago, Mahaprabhu, Srinivas Thakur's son died. And then Mahaprabhu immediately went inside to the where the son was lying dead. And seeing the love of Srinivas Thakur, Mahaprabhu started crying. So here Srinivas Thakur is telling his family members, don't cry in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself comes and he starts crying. And what does Mahaprabhu say? Srinivas, you love me so much. You love me so much. How will I ever leave your association? And Mahaprabhu breaks down. He starts crying. The Supreme Lord starts crying. Because what Mahaprabhu's inner meaning was that soon I'm going to take sannyas and I'm going to leave all of you, Navadvip Vasis, and I'm going to go away to Neelachal. How will I live away from all of you? How will I live away from all of you? You love me so much, Srinivas. So Supreme Lord cries. So if we cry while reciting prayers, if we cry begging for Krishna's mercy, if we cry begging for Krishna prem, if we cry because we are overwhelmed with emotions for Krishna, those tears, they wash away all our anarthas. And if we cry in front of Krishna for our selfish enjoyment, why my green card petition was rejected? Why my H-1B was rejected? Why I did not get the bonus? Why did I miss the cruise? I have paid so much for the cruise, Krishna. What are you doing here sitting on the altar? I missed my cruise. I had paid $1,000 for the cruise. If we cry for personal sense gratification, then those tears wash away the conclusions of all the revealed scriptures. Or if we cry in front of the deities to earn the respect of devotees, to show how advanced we are, those tears also, Srila Prabhupada says, wash away the conclusions of all the revealed scriptures. Once a devotee came to the Hawaii temple when Prabhupada was not there. In the 1970s, Prabhupada was elsewhere, and this devotee knew Prabhupada. He belonged to a different spiritual organization. In fact, he was a leader of a particular spiritual organization, but he was a sahajiya. And he came to the Hawaii temple and he started rolling in ecstasy during the aarti, started crying. Actual tears were coming from his eyes. Ah, Krishna, Krishna, he started crying. And then the devotees, they just, you know, very respectfully ask him, Prabhuji, please, Maharaj, please, 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 get up, get up, get up. And they escorted him out. And then the temple president wrote a letter to Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, this so-and-so person had come, you know, you had told us that they are sahajiyas, and he was showing, you know, so-called ecstatic symptoms, and he was crying in front of Krishna, and we just, you know, safely escorted him out of the temple hall and didn't pay him, you know, much attention. Did we behave rightly, or should we have done something else? Prabhupada, the road back. Yes, you did the right thing, but you should have also kicked him. You should have also kicked him, Prabhupada wrote. So what is Prabhupada trying to tell here? That this type of crying is not at all pleasing. We should not, you know, fake tears or tears because of, you know, personal sense gratificatory loss. That is not recommended in front of the deities. That should not be done. Just like we don't talk mundane things. One of the don'ts is that one should not talk mundane things in front of the deities. One should not instruct others in front of the deities. One should not raise one's voice in front of the deities. But so these are in relationship to mundane topics. But transcendentally, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, Hey Nath, Hey Deen Dayal, he used to loudly cry out when Krishna would come to hear his Krishna Karnamrit in Vrindavan every day at Brahmakud. He would loudly Uchaswarastam Vadata Sadaiva Govinda Damodara Madhavedi. Uchaswar! Loudly he used to chant them. So if one is doing it out of ecstasy, you know. Krishnot Kirtana. Utkirtana means loud kirtan. Krishnot Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premamritambho Nidhi. So that Krishnot Kirtana. Utkirtana is loud kirtan. So we should not raise our voice in front of Krishna, but if in the association of devotees are doing loud kirtan, that is very nice. So in this way we can understand that crying, fake tears, crying out of for personal sense gratification is nisheda, is forbidden, should not be done. But if naturally, you know, Prabhupada in Atlanta, Paramakaruna Pahudvijana Nitai Gaurachandra, in full view of Gaur Nitai, in the temple hall, sitting right in front of Gaur Nitai, in front of all the devotees, Srila Prabhupada cried in ecstasy. In Mayapur, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari. In front of his Radha Madhava, just taking darshan, just chanting Jai Radha Madhava, tears started flowing out of his beautiful eyes, became choked up, could not even give Bhagavatam class. He is Acharya. Prabhupada is teaching us by his example. So if naturally somehow a devotee, or even at home in the privacy, if tears come, that is very pleasing to Krishna. That is very pleasing to Krishna. I will share one more thing. Can I share something very private, Mataji? Something very, very close to my heart?
Yes, Prabhu.
Mataji, this is most dear to me. You can cut it out from the lecture if you want, when you post the recording. But I'm speaking from my heart. Srila Prabhupada's dear disciple, Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj of Vrindavan, speaks in Hindi. Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, if you see him, Mataji, he is always crying. When he is in front of Krishna Balaram, when he is taking darshan of Radha Shyam Sundar, Gaur Nitai, every day he suffered a stroke, unfortunately, so he is wheelchair bound. His servant takes him around for parikrama in Krishna Balaram Mandir on a wheelchair. And he is crying all the time. 12 hours every day he hears Srimad Bhagavatam. All his life, for more than 45 years. 12 hours, it's a regulative principle for him. 12 hours every day he hears Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. Full Sanskrit verses, word-to-word meaning, translation and purport. He did MA in Sanskrit just so that he can study Srila Prabhupada's books nicely. He can study Bhagavatam nicely. Another Mahabhagavat. If someone goes to Vrindavan, please go and take darshan of Srila Radha Govind Maharaj. Please hear his Harikatha on ISKCON Desire Tree. Mahabhagavat. He is always crying. He is always crying. Never leaves Vrindavan. Never leaves Vrindavan. and he's always crying. And once he was asked, if you could ask Krishna for one service, Maharaj, what would you ask? What a beautiful question. Just understand. A disciple asked him, in the intimacy of their relationship, he asked Maharaj, if you could pray to Krishna for one service, this was years ago, if you could do one service for Krishna, what service would you pray for? There are so many services. You can become a pujari for Krishna, you can stitch his clothes, you can cook for him, you can bring him nice milk, you can decorate Krishna, you can make flower garlands for Krishna, you can sing for Krishna, you can dance for Krishna's pleasure, you can preach Harikatha, speak Harikatha for Krishna's pleasure, you can lead Kirtan, you can sing Kirtan for Krishna's pleasure. There are so many services you can do. Even in the spiritual world, there are so many services one can do for Krishna, like Narottamdas Thakur services to boil milk and bring it for Radha and Krishna's pleasure. So Lokanath Goswami's service is to make nice soft red powder and decorate Srimati Radharani's lotus feet with that red powder. From the seeds of dates, he makes that fine red powder, Lokanath Goswami, and he applies it to the beautiful reddish soles of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in his Manjari Swarup. Lokanath Goswami does that eternal service. So Radha Govind Maharaj was asked, Maharaj, what service would you pray for? If you could pray for one service to Krishna, what service would you pray for? And Radha Govind Maharaj, Srila Radha Govind Maharaj, with full love from the core of his heart, he responded. He said, I will pray to Krishna that, my dear Krishna, I want to cry for you. I want to cry for you. So tell me, is it wrong to cry in front of Krishna? He said, I want to cry for you. Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj, about whom we were speaking, what does he say? What have I established in Bhuvaneshwar? I have established the crying school. Gaur Govind Maharaj always said that this ISKCON temple, Krishna Balaram temple in Bhuvaneshwar, it's a crying temple. I have started this crying school. And Radha Govind Maharaj said, I will pray to Krishna that I want to cry for you. Why? Because Radharani is crying for Krishna. The gopis are crying for Krishna. And seeing their tears, the manjaris are crying for Krishna. Everybody is crying in separation from Krishna. What service I want to do for Krishna? I want to cry for you, Krishna. And if you look at Maharaj today, Mataji, he's always crying. There are videos of him. He goes for a drama. Janmashtami is going on. There is a Radha Krishna drama. Kids are performing drama. Just seeing Krishna, Radharani, he'll start crying on stage. Uncontrollably. Somebody is reading Harikatha to him, he starts crying. Somebody is doing Kirtan, he starts crying. He's in that ecstasy all the time. If someone can go to Vrindavan, humble request, please once take darshan of Radha Govind Maharaj. He may not bless this earth planet for very long. And please bless me, please pray for me that I am also able to go and put my wretched head at least once at his lotus feet. Very, very exalted devotee. And his prayer is, Krishna, I want to cry for you. I hope that helps, Mataji. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare.
I know I'm taking everyone's time, but then I just wanted to ask a follow-up thing. This was specifically about the point where you open up in front of the deities, and you were giving the example of that Mataji who ended up opening up her heart to the deities when she was instructed by a senior devotee. So that particular context, it might not have been directly Krishna, give me your Krishna prema or give me devotion to you. It was a very tense situation where she went and opened up her heart to the deities and cried. So then how do we understand that scenario? It's neither material nor is it like for real spiritual, in a very spiritual sense. It's something in between, So how do we understand that particular aspect? Sorry to extend the question.
Draupadi also was in a very personal calamitous situation. So was Gajendra.
Right.
So yes, it is not material, because the husband is a devotee, she is a devotee, and all these calamities are going to affect the devotional service. So it is not at all material. We can we can pray to Krishna for the welfare of another Vaishnava. And yes, Draupadi was crying, the Pandavas were crying. We can pray to Krishna. We can pray to Krishna. That is not material, Mataji. Not at all material.
Yeah. I get that, Thank you, Prabhu. I mean, it was a very, very beautiful answer, and thank you for quoting on so many Maharajas and giving very, very valuable realizations. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for all your time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. It will be very, very practical and nice instructions. And also pastimes of Gauravani Maharaj, Radha Gauravani Maharaj, and all the devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Komodaki Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances.
My humble obeisances to you. That's awesome.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanya Pranam. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. And I don't know whether the time allows for a question or not. I don't know about your schedule, Prabhu.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Prabhuji, like you were explaining about this pastime of Soma Maharshana, and of course you gave an example of Gaur Govind Maharaj. So I don't know whether I have understood correctly through my, you know, contaminated brain, I should say. But what should be our mood? Because when we give some lecture, some class in Bhakti Viksha, in temple, in congregation, or maybe like in conference call. So on one side, the mood is that everybody is senior to us, right? Namani namanadena. We don't expect any respect, but we think that everybody else is senior. But on the other hand, accepting as a service to Krishna, we accept it as a service of giving a class. But then as you said, that when we are giving a class, when we are a leader, then, you know, we have the things that we can influence others. And because of which, you know, and because of that, you know, our anarth and nivritti should be gone. So my question is that what eligibility, what adhikar is for us that we can sit on a vyasasan, or we can give a class on a conference call? With what adhikar can we give? I hope I've not confused you.
No. Very nice question. Mataji, can you introduce yourself, please?
Prabhuji, my master is Kirti Dasundari Daji.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Dasundari Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for your very nice question. So, eligibility, basic eligibility that we have to evaluate is, am I chanting at least 16 rounds every day attentively or not? And am I following the four regulative principles strictly or not? This is the basic eligibility that we have to introspect. This nobody knows, Mataji. None of you know whether I'm chanting 16 rounds or not. I claim to be, but am I really chanting? That is between me and Krishna. Am I really following the four regulative principles? Again, nobody knows. But that is between me and Krishna. So that integrity, that honesty has to be there. If our sadhana is not proper, we can politely excuse ourselves from the service. We should not sit on the vyasasana. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If someone offers us that, Adigada Prabhu, please give the class,
I can say that, Mataji, sorry, somehow it will not be possible. Please ask some other devotee to do this service. We should excuse ourselves. We should be that much honesty we must have, that much integrity we must have. Otherwise, we are being cheaters. We are being cheaters because the person who is giving us the service to sit on the Vyasasana is taking it for granted that we are doing our bhajan nicely and we are spiritually well situated. But if spiritually we are not well situated, then it is an act of arrogance and it is an act of deceit. It is an act of duplicity to sit on the Vyasasana, because sitting on the Vyasasana is what? It means the whole congregation has chosen you to represent Srila Vyasadeva. It is a very lofty position to accept. It is better we just come together and hear some recorded class of Srila Prabhupada or his disciples. But if we are given the service, then we must evaluate our hearts. Am I doing my bhajan properly or not? That is one. Second, because we have not crossed anartha nivritti, for example, I will openly tell all of you today that I am a conditioned soul. I am a conditioned soul, and anartha nivritti is not something in our hands. We cannot say that envy nahi hai, lust bhi control mein hai, anger, I have not got angry really recently, pride, I don't think I'm proud. You know, we cannot do like that. We cannot self-evaluate like that and check the box. Nahi, this is gone, this is gone. Anartha nivritti is not in our hands. Anartha nivritti is, trying for anartha nivritti is in our hands, but anartha nivritti is done by Krishna himself. He kicks out the anarthas from our heart. So we don't have adhikar to sit on the Vyasasana. But if this adhikar is given to us by our spiritual master or by the representatives of Srila Prabhupada, whether it is a temple president or the organizers of a certain program, if they instruct us, then on their order, we can accept the service. Therefore, one should never ask if I can give a class. Like, there are some devotees who have messaged me privately that, Adhikadhar Prabhu, can we give a class on Bhakti Sangha? So in my heart, I feel, or some devotees have messaged me for the ISKCON Atlanta Sunday Feast, Adhikadhar Prabhu, can we give a class on the Sunday Feast? So when someone messages like that, one has to really look inside one's heart and introspect, what is the motive? Do I want to give class to become popular? Do I want to give class so that people recognize me as an advanced devotee? What is the purpose? So we don't have any adhikar, to answer your question, Mataji, we don't have any adhikar to sit on the Vyasasana, but if those who are authorized by Srila Prabhupada, which means our Gurugan, our spiritual masters, or the organizers, the management of ISKCON who are managing on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, if they authorize us to speak Harikatha, then on their order, as their order carriers, we do the service. And therefore, before beginning a class, we should always offer our obeisances, Vancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, meditating that I am Patita. Patitanam Pavanebhyo. And these devotees are Patita Pavan. They are Kalpataru. They are Kalpavriksha. And I bow down to them. This mantra must be chanted before giving any class. We must offer our obeisances to the Vaishnavas, assembled devotees. And we must seek their blessings. Now, in the middle of the class, if a senior Vaishnava comes, like Gaur Govind Maharaj walked into that assembly that day, so we have not offered our obeisances. So we should interrupt the class and offer full respects to that devotee. Welcome that devotee, depending on their spiritual status, spiritual stature. So just to summarize, Mataji, number one, within ourselves, like privately, what adhikar we can look for is, am I practicing my sadhana bhakti nicely? 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, reading, hearing, Is my consciousness in the right place? That we have to evaluate. That nobody knows. So that we have to be honest. And if it is, honestly, if it is proper, and we feel the required inspiration from Guru and Gauranga, then we go to the second step. Second step is, we don't have adhikar, but if someone who is organizing, someone who is the leader, gives us that role, then we accept it. But we should not ask for it. Can I give class? No, that is not the proper etiquette. We should not ask. It should be given. And who can give it? Srila Prabhupada can give it through his representatives, which is his disciples, our Gurugan, and the GBC authorized management system, the temple presidents or like that. So here this conference is being managed by some senior devotees. If they feel the necessity and they give the service, then we accept it as a service. And so, does this help, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, it helps. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your time, for all your patience. Thank you,
Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you for your eagerness. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Anyone else has any questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your time and for your heartwarming association. So much. Anyone wanted to say something?
Hare Krishna, Ajji Adhikata Tadat Prabhu Dandvat Pranam Sila Prabhupada Gurudev Kije. So inspiring class, and we should not do Vaishnava Prat, and how we have to chant our round and not expecting any material thing in front of Krishna, and how nicely you explain that what should be our bhav and what should be our prayers. From Bhagavad Gita and Srishti Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Prabhu said, Vaishnava etiquette not because we are doing very nice tilak or beautiful tilak or dhoti kurta or very nice jewelry to our deities, but you explained so nicely that what beauty is Kupcha have, Dhritarashtra have, what beauty of Jatayu have, what beauty of Sabri have, what make us beautiful. So that is our bhakti make us beautiful, how sincerely we have to offer our 16th round, and what beauty of Kulabhaja Srikam have, that his dhoti is full of small horn and he just tied it, and how sincerely Kulabhaja Peter is saying, Lord Krishna, and again you explained that about what beauty of Vasudev Datta have, and you explained very nicely about Gaur Govind Maharaj and Radha Govind Maharaj story. And again you explained about what beauty of Haridas Thakur, Siddha Bhakun. And Prabhuji, thank you very much for instructing us each and every lecture. We should chant our round very attentively, crying for Krishna, crying for Krishna, crying for Krishna. Not crying about small material thing, why all this happened with me? Why every day new problem and why every day new exam? No. These all material things coming in our life for purification of our own life. So we surrender Lord Krishna and Srimati Radhani more and more sincerely, and our Prabhuji, our family, our kids become more and more sincere in bhakti. Dandavat pranam sila Prabhupada sila Gurudev ki jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Always your servant. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. You also summarized the entire class. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to everyone. We'll end the call. Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Krapa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnava Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Shala Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Shriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu Ki Jai
All glories to
Thank you Adi Gadadhar Prabhu Dandavat Pranam